Hi, how are you?
Good. Look how cute you look.
Give me a hug. Ooh, are you so happy to be home?
Yes.
I'm happy to be home
Laguna Beach, Season 2, Episodes 1 and 2. Since You've Been Gone, The Ballad of Stephen Colletti. Hello and welcome to the season premiere of the Coming Clean podcast, a retrospective podcast about MTV's Laguna Beach and the Hills. My name is Marty.
And I'm Sam.
All right, we're in season two. It's not like we took a long break, but season one's behind us. The gang has left for college, and now we're back. Back for the holidays.
Yeah, back with old drama, back with new drama. I'm very excited for the season.
Cool, so let's jump right in. Do we have any Lagoon news for this week?
Well, since this is probably the biggest Lagoon news that we've ever had or will ever have.
Ooh.
Trey had a birthday last week.
Nice. So it's the biggest news until we hit this time next year again, when it will be his birthday again.
Yes, I've marked it down on my calendar. It is going to be
Your
a
colander?
National holiday. Yeah, it's my calendar.
It's going to be tough to read.
It's a circle colander, and I have it marked off by months.
All right. Very complicated.
Yeah, but on any point, this is going to be a national holiday within 5 years once he runs for president. So
True. President's Day will be moved to March.
Trey 2020.
Agreed. I co-sign that, and you have my vote. All right. I don't think there's anything else from the gang, if I'm not mistaken.
No, yeah, it was a quiet week or so.
All right. Oh, actually, Lo had a video out, an interesting YouTube video out about her going through her depression, so go check that out if you haven't yet.
Yeah, subscribe, send her all the support, and tell her that the Coming Clean podcast. Send her our way.
Yeah. Send her your well wishes on behalf of the podcast. And speaking of the podcast, before we get into this new season, we got some format changes. I'm sure people would have noticed our hot new theme song. And also, we're changing up the format of things, the way the show runs a little bit. Nothing too crazy. We realize there's over 20 episodes in this season, so depending on the content, we might be doing a couple of episodes at a time in one podcast.
We're just trying to make everything better, improvements, tweaks here and there. It's already the number one Laguna Beach podcast, mm-hmm. So we're looking to make top 1,000 podcasts in general.
Yes, agreed. So, hope you like the changes. If you don't, if you do, whatever, if you have suggestions, let us know. At Coming Clean Pod. On all of the social medias, but not medium.
Yeah, don't keep them to yourself. Don't just tell your friends how great our podcast is. Please go on iTunes or anywhere and shout it from the rooftops via the computer.
Yes, the comments and the ratings on the iTunes store really help in terms of getting us on the charts. So please do that. If not, keep listening. So, all right, enough of that. Enough of hyping ourselves. We're going to do that again later. So, new season, new gang, sort of. Like, half of them are new. Well, more than half of them are new. Any initial thoughts here on who you've seen, what we're about to go through?
I think they're going to... MTV really is going to ratchet up the drama. I think the storylines are going to be a lot better. There's going to be probably a lot more going on, a lot more people involved, a lot more high drama people, and I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I think last season it definitely revolved around, at least the love triangle revolved around our main three characters, but now it seems like we have several love interests between the gang, so that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, they're definitely going to start muddling the waters of who's liking who, who's bouncing around.
Yep, so let's get into that. We're going to take a really quick break and enjoy this song, and we'll get into the new season of Laguna Beach and also this podcast.
I'm yours when the days get bad. I'll hold you when you're on your last. Last leg of 100 laps, we are one. Uh-oh. Seize the day till the day is done. We'll sail home on this golden sun. When we get there, we'll know it. We are one. Uh-oh. Come and collect it all.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to Season 2 of the Laguna Beach Podcast Episode Discussion. We're going to look at and see what's going on, what's the haps. Marty, are you ready?
I sure am. So, I think we should start off. We got a new queen in town, a new queen in the kingdom, and it's going to be Kristen. What are your thoughts of Kristen being the focus of the show now?
Well, I think she was, you know, she was always the queen bee. I think she was even the reigning queen bee last year. She kind of controlled every situation, but I like to see it. She pushes the envelope of being a friend, being a girlfriend. Drama always seems to follow her, and you know, I think I'm ready to embrace Kristen as the lead character.
Yeah, they definitely cranked up her attitude and personality all the way up to like an 11, even from the first episode of this new season. Just she got some zingers in there.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, apparently last season Kristen cared a little bit what people think, and now she's telling everybody with Alex that she's glad that she doesn't have to care what anybody thinks, and that's a scary world we are gonna start living in.
Yeah, and we're gonna get into people she doesn't care about anymore, but quick side note, the intro the intro that she read, sort of shades of what Elsie had done for the pilot episode, she is at about our level, or I guess we were at her level in terms of reading out loud, because that was not very good.
No, I'm glad that there's other people like us out there.
And much more successful people, so there's a chance.
Hey, if she can do it, that means we can do it.
Yes, and that's what we're doing right now. Okay, back to the episode. Let's... Oh, man.
Well, I want to bring up one... Oh, okay. This is just more of like a prickly topic to myself, but I hated it in the intros that she like picked on Elsie and be like, oh, that's Lauren, her friends like happen to call her Elsie,
right,
and just like ripped on her for no good reason.
Question for you, I watched it a couple times, I couldn't tell, did she say that Elsie bailed or failed in San Francisco?
I think bailed.
Okay. So it's not as, like, vicious as I thought. Because at first I thought, I was like, wow, she just called her out and said that she failed in San Francisco. I was like, that's a bit much. I know you don't like her.
Yeah, I think she said bailed. I mean, failed kind of works, too. Like, you went there and you failed. Not in the sense that maybe, I don't think she failed out of college.
Right.
But I think bailed is a little bit better.
Yes, I agree. So I'll keep thinking that she said bailed.
Yeah. We don't want to paint a bad light to start off the season.
Yes, and we're gonna have to deal a lot with her,
and she'll do that herself.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're gonna have to deal a lot with her, and probably a lot worse things that she's gonna say.
Yeah, we'll keep this as like a one. We'll start getting a scale of Kristen's meanness, and that's a one.
Okay, yeah, that's a good new segment. We'll think of a clever name for it. We'll probably think of it later, but if this is her baseline, if this is her one, her meanness, I'm very excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, I think things can get bad.
Yeah, because just compared to last season, and she got a little chippy last season, but this this season was just, she's coming out of the gates real hot.
Out of control. She's out of control, just at like her Azuzu.
Yeah, I was happy to see the Zuzu make another appearance, a little bit more reliable this time.
Yeah, I think it probably went to the mechanic and got a little tune-up.
Yeah, so speaking of the Zuzu and why she was driving that around, and that was to meet Steven, who's back from college for the first time after the first semester, in what I can describe as one of the most awkward encounters I've ever seen on fiction or reality television.
Yeah, this whole episode, like, this is almost like a perfect episode of, it gave you like good feels, it gave you awkward feels, mm-hmm. it gave you, I don't know, just regular emotions. But like, I kind of had to fast forward through this scene just the second time I watched it, because it was just so cringeworthy.
Yeah, I was laughing so much.
Yeah, because it's like you both didn't want to be there, or like Steven wasn't ready, and then she drove the whole like conversation to like meet together.
Yep.
And then they just had this like, no duh, this whole conversation was going to go terribly after she just drops a bomb on him.
On like, voicemail.
I'm seeing somebody else.
Right.
And then just like drops a bomb.
Yeah, and the waves smashing on the shore did not help either, because they could not hear each other at all.
Yeah. Oh, let's go to the lookout point.
Yeah.
This will save our relationship. Nope, it won't.
Yeah, so that was about as awkward as we've seen both of them. Steven seems to have lost his mojo.
Yeah, I can't. I hated when Kristen got in the car after they had their conversation, and then she's like complaining how Steven's like immature, blah blah blah.
Right.
Like, I can't fault the guy. Like, you were meeting with somebody that you just like clearly like called every day, was so into, and then she just like smashes your heart. Of course it's gonna be awkward. Like, right. he had no clue what to do. He was like a sad little puppy.
Yeah, and as sort of the, as because she was the one who dumped him, so technically she, let's just call it one in the breakup. So I would have thought that, as you know, as the winner, you would be the one facilitating the loser back into the less awkward territory of your relationship.
Yeah, she just like murdered him in the car. Like, it wasn't, I don't think any of that was his fault.
Yeah, I mean, he did have like sort of this weird, what, I'm supposed to be happy to see you, something like that. I think he was just getting fed up with the awkwardness of the whole situation. But, you know, Steven, I understand where he's coming from. He's probably not thinking straight, but not the best answer to say.
No. And they had that weird, like, flirtatious relationship in the beginning. It was just so weird. It was just too weird.
It was kind of like we just saw in those, I want to say what, that was like a 2-minute, 3-minute scene. We saw like the lifespan of their entire relationship from like season one to now just happen in those 3 minutes.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, we're good together. Now we're not. And yeah. I'll see you around, because yeah, like, you just happen to be always around.
Right. And was that the same spot where they were saying goodbye? I couldn't tell when they were putting the flashbacks together.
It could have been, yeah. If they threw those flashbacks in there, maybe. Or it could have just been saying, like, oh, she wasn't going to find anybody else.
Man. But, yeah, that was...
So it's hard enough to see, like, boyfriend and girlfriends fight.
Right.
It's even worse seeing them, like, break up and then having to deal with each other.
Yes, especially after he's been, like, gone for a while, and probably, I don't know, it's just a completely different situation for him now that he's not a resident there anymore. He's not quite home, but he's also not quite home in college, so
it's a weird spot. Yeah, he's adrift.
Yeah, I mean, the first break after first semester is a weird one. It's a tough one after college.
Yeah.
Or after high school, sorry.
Yeah, it's especially like your freshman year, like you're in between not high school and you're supposedly more mature, but I really think when you go to college, you might even like regress some bit.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit, but I'm going to hold my thought on that. I'll stick a pin in it for when we get to Lowe's party. But I wanted to bring up the, when you get home for your first semester, it's like, you're still at the point where you're sort of trying to make relationships and good friends in college, but at the same time, even your best friends in high school, you definitely didn't have as much contact as they did for, 5-6 months. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you don't quite have friends, really. It's just at a weird spot. Yeah. Because it's like, you have, kind of good friends in college, but not really. It's not like you're going to be texting each other constantly.
Yeah, but you've known somebody for, 3 months.
Yeah, and then, your friends at home who you're used to hanging out with pretty much 24/7 now. Mm-hmm. It's like, I remember when I texted you that one time?
Yeah, it's a weird transition coming back.
And it's like your last memory was of leaving. Like, you didn't share any memories over the past 3 months, so you both have sort of the same base of just things to talk about. Because
Yeah. It's just like everybody comes back with a different experience.
Right. And obviously you're coming in hype, right? It's like, oh, I had such a great experience, or I had such a dramatic experience, and then everyone thinks the same.
Yeah. It's like, who's the cooler one?
Yes. But so, okay, now I'm thinking back to that scene again, and I don't know, you fast forward through it, I treated it like one of those car crashes that you couldn't stop watching. I actually rewound and watched it a couple times. I love the just the camera angles of them just looking at opposite directions, just stuff.
I might just have to get that whole scene for you for your birthday or something like that. Oh,
yes. I want actors to come visit me and just recreate that scene.
Like in your apartment.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll get back to them in a little bit. But now that Kristen's put herself out of the picture here, now LC, after having this advantage of hanging out with Steven in San Francisco for a semester... Now she's in play. I hate to use that word, but LC has come into play in terms of Steven's love life, relationship life.
LC.
She just really likes him, huh?
Yeah, I mean, in the modern terms, she is thirsty.
Hashtag thirsty. Also, hot take.
Yeah. Come on, Elsie, get over it. you gotta move on. She had a bad experience at college. Maybe she's just trying to grasp on to anything she knows.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not look good on screen.
I agree. It really doesn't. And it's just the way they cut it too, just the scenes of her when at Lowe's party when Steven and Kristen had another awkward encounter, when she leaned back from the railing or something.
Yeah, and then when they're flirting in the hot tub.
Yep.
And she'll do touch with their feet, and then right. You know, something's gonna, it's like showing that something's gonna happen.
Yep. Yeah, and when he was drying off, when she pulled his towel and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you know he's gonna go away. He's not coming back.
Right. Yeah, especially now that, you would think that she obviously knew that Kristen dumped him, so she could have made the move in San Francisco early on. But
I think it seems like, I don't know when Kristen dumped Steven, but it could have been closer to Christmas break.
Oh.
Because if she did that, then Steven would have had, no time for coming back, so it could have still been, a sore wound.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured she maybe waited until the end of the semester to, because he's going to have to come back. She had an opportunity to avoid him for, the first couple months.
Yeah.
And now since he's coming back, he kind of has to break the news.
Right. And she did say that he didn't really have the complete picture of what was going on with her.
Yeah.
She had no idea. Per her conversation with our boy Gary.
Hey, I'm glad Gary's back. Yeah. Didn't know he was a senior.
Oh yeah, good to see Gary back. But with LC, I just wanted to bring up, so we're back at our favorite restaurant, the Pomodoro.
Yeah, Pasta Pomodoro.
Pasta Pomodoro. And
yeah, people on Yelp are very upset that it closed down.
They keep coming back there, so
Yeah, that's like how many times? That's at least 6 times that we've been to Pasta Pomodoro.
Yeah, that was
at least 4.
You think that was the only restaurant to like sign the releases that you can show like your staff?
Yeah, it was the similar contract as that one band.
Von Penn. There you go. Got it at the same time too.
Okay. MTV's been doing this for a long time. They know how to work it.
Yes. And can I just say,
go ahead.
So this, let's call it a date for the purposes of this podcast, just to create some drama. But on this date, you had in mind, like, you were prepared to go to the jacuzzi, right?
Yeah, I think. It seems like they had that plan in mind. Like, right, come back to my house, and I got this dope jacuzzi.
Right. And we'll talk about Elsie's dope house in a second.
And we know what goes down in a jacuzzi.
Yeah, Talon's jacuzzi. Perverted questions.
Talon just pops up.
Oh, yeah. He was like, yes, I knew I would get someone else in a jacuzzi. But what I was going to say is, you know, I mean, they're comfortable with each other, so I'm putting that aside. But they knew very well that the cameras were on them. And they're very good-looking people. They're in great shape. But you know the camera adds 10 pounds. And you're going to eat a huge bowl of pasta before getting into your swimsuit? It's just like the bloating could have been. I mean, it was at night, but I was like, ooh, I thought you would be sharper than that.
And they both, like, and going on a date, I don't know if Italian's great for, like, general dates, but it's heavy in garlic. It's usually not the best idea.
And LC was eating clams, so that was possibly a food poisoning alert.
True.
It's not something you would eat.
True. Yeah, they're playing on the edge.
Yeah, they could have easily gone to, like, an all-you-can-eat sushi buffet and just rolled the dice there.
At least your breath wouldn't like stink. I mean, right. It might smell like fish, but
so okay. Now we're getting like super deep into this rabbit hole of their date, which is a very minor part of the episode, but it's fun talking about this. But can you confirm? I have another question for you since you're a little bit more detail oriented. So Elsie was eating that clam pasta or whatever, mussels.
Yeah,
was. It looked like Steven was just eating like pasta with sauce.
Yeah, I think she said it was like kind of like a chicken ragu. Oh,
okay.
It's kind of lame. It was just pasta with sauce with like chicken.
I didn't even see the chicken.
Yeah, maybe like a chicken cacciatore.
Right.
Almost.
Yeah.
Like a shredded chicken, but lame. Like if pasta pomodoro is coming with like fire meals.
Yeah.
Like Jason, not to like bring up Jason too early yet, but when Jason or Jess were there, like Jason got, I think like probably beef ragu or like a braised short rib ragu tagliatelle.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite pasta dishes.
Yeah. Oh, so I did a quick Google search and I don't know if this is the same pasta pomodoro, but it looks like, I think it is.
Is it
looks
in
like
Oakland?
It's a chain, yeah.
Oh, it might be.
And it just says that just a couple months ago, December 29th, 2016, Pasta Pomodoro suddenly closes all 15 Bay Area locations.
Ooh. Oh, so it's a recent.
Yeah. But, you know.
Well, I mean, the photos look great.
Yeah. It doesn't look super fancy, but it looks like a nice date spot.
Yeah, especially for high school kids.
Yeah. All right. So, okay, we're derailing very much here, but I mean, there were the important part of this, but let's talk about the gang. They're all back. So, it's a nice little, they're easing us in to this new world of Laguna Beach season 2 by just showing us some of the older characters at Lowe's Christmas party. So, let me just ring the bell here and cue the music because it's time for another, and I'm going to do this as much as I can as long as she appears low down.
Down low.
So low, very, very excited.
yeah. see her. I mean, it's like we never change seasons.
Yeah. I breathed a sigh of relief. It's not like we took that entire, like, 6-7 month cycle between seasons that we forgot about them. It's like, yeah. we still watch it once a week. But I was just very relieved to see a lot of the old faces.
You could feel the emotions that they all were having because we've both gone through it.
Yeah.
You know, first big party back together, and you're like, oh, hey, I haven't seen you in so long, right. All this stuff. And this was before, like, group messages, so you would have to text people separately.
Yep.
It seems like Steven, like, and Trey talked all the time, but, like, right. being in the same vicinity with somebody, it's not the same.
Yep.
So it was great to... Go ahead.
Lo had gone to, it looks like, did she go to UCLA?
USC?
USC? Did she end up going to USC? All right.
But... I think she went to Santa Barbara.
Oh, right. Somewhere there. But
yeah, UC,
yeah, so Santa... she ended up going to college, which was nice. But she looked very happy to be there. Very happy to see LC back.
Yeah, that's best friend life right there.
Yeah, and I remember, not to put her on the spot, but I had a similar encounter with me being LC, of just the high school best friend being very, very excited to see each other back, and I was kind of like, ugh, I'm not a hugger.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, classic Low at this point.
Yeah, just... I mean, standard. I don't know how much she'll be popping in and out. Maybe since LC is back in Laguna, we'll see Low a little bit more.
Yep, I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I could take out of a 30-episode season, get, like, 15 appearances.
Yeah. So my lowdown is I have high hopes.
Yes, and I would have to agree.
All right. Okay, so just jumping off that, before we get into the nitty-gritty of the Christmas party, let's do this again one more time while we still can. It's time for a little Trey Talk! So he had like one line the entire episode, if that. He had like a whisper.
Yeah, but that's all we needed.
Yeah, it was nice to see, you know, his choices in shirts. He's skating down once again.
Yeah, I didn't realize he went to Bard College.
Yeah.
Which is up by Rhinebeck, which is probably about like an hour and a half by the... is it the Metro North? One of the trains that goes, yeah, the Metro North. That's a hike to get up there. I thought he was like in New York City.
Yeah,
I didn't realize he went to Bard.
Yeah, because when he like skated out, I was like, there's no school in New York City that looks like that.
No, no.
So and I guess he transferred like, to Parsons.
I thought he went to Parsons, but maybe he eventually makes it there eventually. Yeah. But like when they were talking about going, like I thought he was going to like. Into New York, like the big city.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, because they were talking about how if he could fit in and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, you went to Bard College, like you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I was gonna say nice little suburb, so not a huge change, I guess, other than the weather.
It's like not even a suburb, it's a farm.
Well, no beaches for him then.
No, zero. Oh, no, wait. Jones Beach.
Yes, no, whatever those things in New Jersey are. Shouts to New Jersey. Beach, you know.
Boardwalk.
Yeah, and beach in quotations.
Yeah, where you probably sit on the sand and get hit by glass, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's whatever. All right, I won't hate on the beaches, that's not...
No, I think that's only like North Jersey.
Yeah. All right, so Trey, once again... just shedding some cool into our lives, even just a little bit. So that's always good to see. And now I want to talk about your favorites, Morgan and Christina.
Oh God. you know what?
Yes.
I'm not even gonna do an apology. It's more of like a scolding.
Oh, go on.
Or I don't know, scolding / revelation.
Okay.
Morgan and Christina together are insufferable. I cannot stand them together. Morgan on her own, so lovable.
Okay.
Yeah. like on her own, she seems so like independent, like lovable, bubbly, her like normal self. Mm-hmm. When she hung out with Christina, I was like, Christina, you're god awful. And I'm not even sure if like
they're don't
like,
take truly the friends. Name of God in vain in front of Christina.
Yeah, well, I'm not even sure if they're friends. Because, like, Morgan was like, oh, I mean, Christine was like, oh, I love your bangs. And Morgan was like, oh, your style improved. And I'm like, whoa. Like, was her style terrible to begin with?
I mean, it looks like she was wearing the same stuff.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe that was a backhand dig. Seems a little scary.
So, what about Christina on her own? Is Christina the one dragging it down? Or are yes. they like, oh, okay, so she's bad on her own?
Yeah. She's just not my type of person.
Okay.
I don't know, just she I feel like she's like a sneaky snake.
I was gonna say that their conversation together when they started bringing up Kristen and Steven, I was like, are you gonna stir some stuff around again? It's
yeah, like she's come on, she just talks so much crap.
Yeah, but
it's not needed, it's not wanted around here.
Yeah, but you know, I'm happy that Morgan's dating.
Yeah, Leviticus 7 says thou shalt not talk crap.
So, well, let's save that for Talon. Oh, sorry, hashtag resident emo isn't here to defend him. But okay, so terrible. let's talk about the Christmas party now and how the gang's there, but also Kristen's crew is there as well.
Yeah, that was a rager of a party.
Yeah, was that
they were hammered.
Yeah, who? So there were two guys who were in the couch and potted plant incident.
Yes.
Was and that Skinny Dip guy?
No, I don't think so. I think these are just randos. But it was them talking to Jen Bunny. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I don't know if she was on, like, acid or something. I don't know what was going on. Because they were like, whoa, Jen, are you, like, tripping out right now? When she was, like, looking at her phone.
Oh.
I think they were doing drugs.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like really subtle because it's like basically masked by Steven and Lauren flirting.
Right.
But if you like listen really closely, mm-hmm. you'll hear a conversation. I couldn't put out the whole convo.
Okay.
But it seemed like she just looked at her phone weird. It was like it was a very odd going on. And then he like fell and he must have been right. drunk and hit the plant.
Right. So if anyone was there, hit us up at Coming Clean Pod, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or anyone on the cast or the production crew. And Chen Bunny, give me a call.
Oh, well.
What?
I'm going to tweet out this episode at her for you.
Sure. And you have my number.
I do.
Okay, so and you texted me this before I got to it, so I was kind of expecting it, but it was funny how sort of the groups divided immediately as soon as the I was going to call them the juniors, but the now seniors walked in.
Yeah, it was everybody separated, huddled together.
Yeah, and this is, I'm going to unpin my thought from the Steven conversation earlier, but now we're seeing sort of the dynamic and the power shift happen, because now Kristen and her gang, their mindset is of seniors, so they're super confident, they have a swagger about them. And then all these guys who were running the show last season, they're all freshmen again, so now they seem shy and timid and were just really quiet.
Yeah, that's a good point. They all like kind of, I mean, either that or they just kind of, they are to the point where you're in college and you already can do this on a regular basis.
Right.
Like maybe at some schools, like they can go out drinking, have booze whenever they want. You could be partying 4 or 5 times a week.
Right.
And then going to this situation, maybe you're matured when you party, whereas Kristen coming in, maybe they're already drunk and it's like, oh, I'm still in high school partying.
Yeah.
It
was, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think back to, like...
But yes, I mean, Steven seemed very insecure throughout the whole party.
Yeah, Trey looked pretty uncomfortable being there, too.
Yeah, maybe it's not his vibe anymore.
Yeah, and then we know that LC actually told Talon that I don't want to, like, I'll hang out with you, but I won't go to these stupid parties.
And then Talon, of course, the coolest guy. He's like, he doesn't do that anymore. Anyways.
Yeah, right. Which, he was at both parties. The liar.
Yeah, like what does that even mean?
Damn it, Talon. Hashtag resident emo. Hashtag puberty. When you hear this, come on. Indefensible right now. Talon just lied to her face.
Yeah, come on, man.
Just not feeling Talon right now.
It's just despicable.
Okay, so anything else happen at this party that you think is worth mentioning?
No, it was pretty tame. It was just like Steven and then Kristen yelling at LC, still hating on her.
Right,
and then,
which was like, inappropriate.
And then, sorry to bring up Morgan and Christine again, but they explained it all the same. Steven and Kristen fight, and then LC just following around Steven.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have the benefit of being around both sides. So true. If anyone has, like, the best perspective, I'd love to get their take on all of that, since they were sort of playing both sides of the equation here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I guess now I'll just focus on getting Morgan on the show and not both of them at the same time, because you might lose it.
Yeah. Sorry, Christina.
Christina, I'll still talk to you. And Jen Bunny, once again, give me a call. But, all right, so we've talked about the old gang. We miss them already. But there's new drama and new people to talk about. And we'll talk about them after this quick break. All right, welcome back, and we've talked about, again, the old gang earlier, and now let's talk about some of the newer people, starting with who I mentioned in our preview episode of this entire podcast, the person I was looking most forward to seeing, and we have him now. We got Jason.
Yeah, the new crew, the wolf pack, the NWO coming in.
Very, very, very topical there with Kendall Jenner.
Wow.
But yeah, Jason, I mean, immediately, just the first shot of him, I was like, this guy's so cool.
I know. He's the guy who looks like he's 27 in high school.
Right.
But, I mean, I was watching it back, I was like, I don't know how he gets the hair so spiky like that.
I mean, I don't know if that's just the natural. Water. It was just the water in the mid-2000s. I had the same hair.
Yeah, and then perfect, like, chin strap.
Yeah, that was...
thing.
That was a cheesy look. That was straight out of the Kevin Federline book of style.
But I'm debating of possibly cutting my beard into that.
Please don't.
I might have to.
Well, you're going to need a chain to go with that and to... button the top button of your shirt only.
Hey, if it excels my pro baseball career.
Well, okay, so side note before we get going, I'm not a big baseball guy, but what did you think of his swing?
I was hoping this was brought up.
I'm not a baseball guy. Did not look great.
No, it was not great. Okay. He had not one clean hit on, like, not didn't put the bat on the ball once. All pop flies.
Even the sound of the ball hitting the bat was, like, you could have edited that MTV to make it sound a little more punchier.
No, he definitely didn't have a good swing plane, and he might be a better pitcher, because they were wondering if you were going to pitch.
Right.
But at that age...
Yeah, play both ways, right?
Yeah, you basically do both. You're not just a pitcher, you do both, right. And you can probably, like, until you start specializing... Mm-hmm. You basically can do both. But, I mean, he might be a bad hitter to begin with. So, I'm not going to fault him for it. Yeah. But it's, downgrade points.
Well, we'll have to get our resident varsity, same person as hashtag resident emo. Let us know, Connor. Reach out to us on Facebook, on Twitter. Instagram, Twitter. Because, you know, I'm going to be busy on my phone talking to Jen Bunny. But let us know what you thought of Jason's batting skills. Is that what you call it? I don't know. I'm really bad at baseball. It looked
batting
like he had,
ability.
Yeah, it looked like he had a better throw based on the intro.
Intro. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He comes in with a three-quarter motion. Pretty unique.
Totally. Sidearm, fastball, touchdown.
A young Andy Pettit.
Sure.
Or a Mike Mussina.
Mm-hmm. You're just a regular Nolan Ryan there. And it's a beautiful afternoon here in Laguna. We got Jason Wehler coming up to pitch. Swing and a miss from his cheesy-looking friend. We'll get to him later, too, but that guy, Jason's friend, looks like the cheesiest looking, like he has to be on a soap opera these days.
Are we going to change instead of Trey Talk? It's going to be Sed Talk for Cedric.
Sure. I mean,
Sed Talk.
Sed Talk.
Ew. Yeah, if we could talk about his fashion.
Oh, man. All right, we'll get to that in a couple minutes. But, oh, man. Okay, I have thoughts on that guy. Okay, back to Jason. Let's fast forward, rewind. Let's go back to Pasta Pomodoro, our favorite hangout spot, and let's talk about him and Jessica.
Yeah, that relationship is clearly all physical.
Ooh.
From the scenes in Pasta Pomodoro, they did not have any conversation. I think they talked about the food.
No chemistry there at all.
And then a couple footsies, and next thing you know, he's staying at her house and making weird faces. Like, yeah, we're getting it on.
I mean, even the when they met after, what were they doing? Were they shopping or something? And then he was
in the
car.
Yeah, they were shopping.
And then her, just not that Kristen's much deeper in terms of her relationship with Matt, but she always described him as like interesting or something like that. Something about his personality. But she was just like, he's so cute in terms of Jason. So
that's it. And I loved after she went into his car and like made out with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went like, cause he had sunglasses on, you know, right when they were going to drive away, he was going to flick him down with his one finger and just like flick him down and be like, deal with it. And then like drive off.
AKA so the Fieri.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, he was
related to Guy Fieri.
I wouldn't be surprised, but he got the cooler gene. But I have that's for a different podcast. That's a Triple D podcast, our spinoff.
I could go through every episode of Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives.
Well, you know what? Hey, if we got nothing else going on. Why not?
That's what we're going to do. We're going to travel the world following all the Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives episodes while doing this podcast.
All right. I mean, that works for me. I do like Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives.
All good.
Not end dives, but just end dives. Not a well, fan getting... of end dives.
Oh, God.
And that's pun podcast.
Yeah. And you know what is not a dive?
What is?
Pasta Pomodoro.
Well, yeah, that's a classy establishment if you ever had one. But yeah, so nobody trusts Jason in terms of Jessica's group of friends.
Zero people.
Just and this is like this isn't your cream of the crop in terms of character people either.
No, even Jason's friends don't even trust Jason.
Oh man, was it Oh, no, sorry. That was Kristen describing Casey, I think, when she said she was a heartbreaker or something, right?
No, Casey?
Casey? Or who did she describe as a heartbreaker?
Casey was, she has fake hair all the way down to her personality.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to her soon. But Jessica was Dieter's girlfriend, and let's talk about that bit a little. Not quite the theory of Dieter, but hey, I am all aboard the Dieter train. I'm team Dieter.
Yeah, we won. Yes, I agree. It was a theory of Dieter in the sense that he absolutely got destroyed and heartbroken there.
So that was probably the scene where I felt the most awkward and cringed the most. I was just like, oh, dude.
Yeah, when he was like, oh, how's the kids? Oh, so bad. Like, he didn't want to be there. They forced them to.
Yeah, that was so awkward too.
But like, she goes from Dieter to Jason. She does a complete 180.
Yeah, she went from sort of like a dorky guy to like the coolest guy in Laguna.
Possibly California.
I wouldn't doubt that, but whew, Jessica has changed real quick. Jessica was, I don't know. Yeah, she probably had the biggest change. We haven't seen Talon as much, but I think so far from what we're seeing, Kristen had a pretty big change between seasons, but I mean, from what we've seen out to Jessica, it's just
vapid.
Yeah, Jason changed her.
I don't think so, though. I think, I mean, the way Dieter was saying it, what?
She just changed?
No, I don't think she changed at all. The way Dieter kind of described her is like, that's who she always was.
Oh.
Like, maybe like a little out there, but just very, you know, whatever they want to do. She controls the situation.
Okay. But you know what, Dieter? Onwards and upwards, you're going to move on to better, bigger and better things. We'll see you at even.
Did he go to Ohio State or something like that?
I don't know. Not
I think he went out to Ohio, but
that's maybe kind of random.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so, well, I'm sure we'll talk more about these guys, J&J. We'll call them Jason and Jessica in the near future. But now let's talk about the new girl in town, and I'm not talking about the show Hairspray. But let's talk about Casey. Look, who seems to be Kristen's new senior rival.
Yeah, Kristen throwing shade.
Yeah.
Really early, telling her not to hang out with Casey.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Casey's from the bad side of the tracks. It's her fourth school in 4 years.
Right. Yeah, I wonder why they never explained it. I don't know if they will. But yeah, either she's not a great kid, but she looks pretty well off. So now I'm thinking, do her parents just move a lot?
But I don't think either they move a lot. Like, I don't think she would be like an army brat kind of thing.
Yeah, not in Laguna.
No, you're not like.
If it was San Diego, then it would make sense.
Maybe she's like a bad kid. Maybe. We don't know.
Well, but just I mean, I think I texted it to you, and I won't use the exact same words because that wouldn't be acceptable for this family friendly podcast. But she just drove me crazy just the way she talked to her personal hairstylist, not the Lindy.
Lindy would have styled that hair much better.
Oh man, that was.
I mean, like, you could see her roots.
Yes.
I think Kristen and her crew were talking about that. Yeah. So
when she put it up in like a ponytail, it's like worse or something.
Yeah.
Although will say, oh sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was gonna say, like, is that? I think that was that like the style kind of back then. I don't know.
I think that's like after, because like Christina Aguilera was doing that stuff early on in her career, but
yeah,
I think they were over that. But anyway, despite her kind of, I don't know, let's call it ratchety style. Sorry, but that's the only word I can think of. She's
the queen.
She does throw a really classy party. That was a nice looking party.
Yeah, that was like bubbly pink lemonade. Class.
Yeah. Or, you know, champagne or something.
Yeah.
She had a soda stream before the soda stream, and she was making some soda for the gang.
Dude, that was wild.
Yeah, that was a nice house.
Yeah, that was a 3-story house.
Yeah. And
it was like, it was a fortress.
Like a nice. What was the point of the party? I'm not sure if there was, or was it
no. I think it was just hang out. Yeah, she was just throwing a party.
I would not have. I did dress up for that.
Yeah, I did love how she was like positioned, waiting for people to come.
Yeah,
it's like how I would be at a windowsill if I had like a bay window. I would like sit upon my couch and look out. Oh, they're here. My guests.
Ring a bell. Have the butler like escort you down.
Yeah, my imaginary butler.
All right, so I'm going to take advantage of this conversation about her party, and this we have this listed out, but let's talk about some of the fashion, starting off with, what was his face? What was Jason's, I was going to say creepy, but cheesy friend's name?
Cedric.
Cheesy Cedric.
is this time for Sed Talk.
Sed Talk. Oh, yeah. It could be Sed Talks, like TED Talks.
Yes, perfect.
I'll find a sound effect that matches.
Ideas guy right here.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about Sed and his fashion. Just scarf.
The scarf was fire. He had a brown scarf wearing a brown sport coat.
Gosh.
Fire flames.
He's obviously fashionable, but not in a Trey way, because Trey, you look at him and you're like, this guy's a free spirit. He's an artist. Yeah. He'll like save the world. This yep. guy is like, this guy is the bodyguard of the bad villain who's like gonna try to privatize water.
He's a water polo player.
/ baseball player. Who also had a bad swing.
No, he's not a baseball player.
Oh, well, he had a bad swing, that's why.
Yeah. His shirt said Laguna Beach water polo.
Could have played both, man.
And, not to stereotype, but that makes so much sense. I just feel like, a couple of water polo players that, like, people I've met, you know, I could see that. Yeah. He seems very similar.
I mean, he also looks like he's in his late 20s. He just...
We have no clue what these ages of these people are.
yes, like Jason, like you said, could have easily been also in his late 20s at this point.
Yeah, Jason's had like 8 kids by that time.
What if Jason and Sed were like the 21 Jump Street of Laguna?
Last episode, they had the break character.
Yeah.
Bust in.
But yeah, so we got Sed's... said style, and yeah, so just I'm comparing it to Trey, and we've he preys on prey tre, bleh, tough to say, but Trey, but Cedric
Cedric,
he looks like a Cedric, but Cedric looks like his fashion was just like he went into like a Top Man and was like, I want that mannequin. And then he just took whatever was on the mannequin
and the mannequin
the mannequin and then just wore that.
I mean, that's the best way to shop.
He looks like one of Derek Zoolander's friends.
Yes.
Is the
and
best.
I kind of hope we get more of it.
Yeah, I don't mind him. He just I just got creeped out by his face a little bit.
Yeah. He might take a little bit getting used to. But any other fashion that's kind of popped out at you?
Yes, the collars have popped out, and it looks like we're well into the popped collar trend.
Yeah, I had to think back to high school, because I would have been a sophomore, or we would have been sophomores in high school.
Yep, like 05, yeah.
Yeah, and there was definitely a point, like, in my school, I could only wear khaki pants and collared shirts, so I lived in collared shirts for right. Probably the next 8 years after that.
Were they buttoned up or like golf shirts?
No, like a golf shirt. Okay. Like they had from American Eagle.
Right.
Get some cool patterns on there. It looks like there's paint on it, but there's not. You know.
that's very mid-2000s.
Yeah. But in high school, where I was going with the pop collars, in high school, we used to have days where it was called Connecticut Tuesdays. And people would come with double pop collar, and if you're super daring, you go triple popped. Just, it was excessive.
How many collar? What was your maximum collar poppage?
I'd never popped a collar.
Ooh.
Because one, I had an older sister who told me not to do that. Thanks
that,
for that.
There was a song about that too, right?
Every day I pop in my collar.
Change the last note for copyright.
I don't think I sung enough.
Okay.
3-6 Mafia is not coming after us.
Well, yeah, wow.
Yeah, it was.
3-6 Mafia. All right, well, okay.
3-6 Mafia.
So, pop collars. I think that was the one that stood out to me. The most
low rise jeans, almost bell bottoms, again. Everybody kind of looked like they had very big bottom pants.
Yeah, was that like the aftermath of the JNCO jean trend, and now they're like they're a little slimmer at the top but still wide at the bottom?
Yeah, it's a transition.
Yeah, before skinny jeans came to play.
Yep, like the really tight ankles.
Right.
I think it was a mix of that and bell bottoms came back around.
Yeah. I mean, for guys, it was like the boot cut came into play.
Yeah, or really big straight cut jeans. A little, like, you get some good sag going.
Yes.
Some days I miss the sag.
I mean, you rocked that through, like, freshman year still.
I rocked that until maybe 3 years ago.
When you figured out what kind of pants fit.
Yeah, you get some really good faded jeans, and then they just, the sick sag, and ugh. It was an unbelievable time. So comfortable.
Hey, man, at our age, we got the freedom of pants now, man. We're technically allowed to wear dad jeans.
Ugh, I am dreading. I'm dreading the day of some dad jeans.
That could be the mark of success. Barack Obama wore them.
Yeah, the question is, when do you start tucking in your shirt at work?
Oh, man.
I can't even fathom the day that I'll ever do that.
Like a t-shirt?
No, like a button-up shirt. I don't think I'll ever tuck it into jeans.
Oh, to jeans. Oh, yeah, that's... Well, actually, not that people...
It's uncomfortable.
Not that people see me day-to-day, but I accidentally ordered a bunch of shirts that were extra long. So I had to... I actually literally have to tuck them in all the time. So even when I'm wearing jeans... Just straight up looking like dads.
It's the weird combination where your shirt is kind of puffy and then it folds over and then your jeans might be tighter. It just doesn't, it's bad vibes, man. I can't do it.
Yeah, I gotta get more khakis so I can tuck shirts in respectively, but jeans are just so comfortable. But
I know, yeah. I mean, that's what I haven't tucked in my shirt. I also haven't ironed my shirt in... a month, because it's so cold in my office that I have to wear a jacket, so I haven't ironed a shirt.
I've gone, not that, Jen Bunny, don't hold this against me, but I've gotten pretty much full Zuckerberg. I've bought an 8-pack of black shirts, and I got my one cardigan, and a couple pairs of jeans that I just wear every day. I change up the shoes, though. Keep the shoes fly.
But that's the thing, is like, when you become a CEO... You can do whatever you want, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, dress for the job that you want, and I want to be Zuck. So,
is it bad if I just want to wear a jumpsuit all day? What job would that be?
You could janitor. Be a fighter pilot. You could be a male stripper. You could be
two great options right there.
You could be a gas monkey.
Yeah, just, you know, handing out Marlboro Reds to people as I pump their gas.
That's probably not safe.
It's fire. Oh, I'm not gas. Like lighting. I'm not handing lit cigarettes. Oh, okay. You sell cigarettes at the gas station.
Ah, got it.
Jeez.
Okay, so we've gone way off the off ramp here. Where we've missed the exit ramp, but very quickly before we move on. Any thoughts on Talon so far? We've seen, again, he's, like, presented as a main character for the second straight season, and we hear, like, three lines from him.
Yeah, it's a slow start for him. I think from the way I've kind of read and looked ahead, we're going to get a little more involved with him.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Because he does have that love triangle, too.
Yeah, but I could also have to see the same time that he is involved in all this drama, but he doesn't even appear on screen.
Oh. Man.
Like, everybody's talking about him, but he's just never there.
All right, well, we'll have to figure it out. But okay, so I got something that I gotta get off my chest before I can move on.
Lay it on me.
I want to address the bowling scene.
Okay.
As a former bowling enthusiast and part of the. My high school bowling team.
What happened at State again?
Okay, I choked. We got it. Okay. I pulled a 65 at state. A child without bumpers would have done better.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
It's fine.
Got the yips.
Yeah, a little bit. They replaced me with a freshman, too. Douches. And he did much better. He scored like a 75. But my point was, the etiquette, or lack thereof, of these people bowling at the same time was just, you just don't do that.
Oh, go, yeah, like they didn't switch off?
Yeah, that's just really bad bowling etiquette, and I would have kicked them out if I owned that bowling alley.
Well, there's no rules at Lucky Strike, man.
There are in mine.
Yeah,
this is...
Dang kids coming into my place and playing bowling.
Yeah, and at least, like, the only one who had, like, did something properly was, like, Alex, tall Alex, because she did, like, the double underhand. Because everyone else was, like, bowling at the same time and lofting the ball. It was just the worst bowling etiquette I've seen.
I'm glad you brought up tall Alex. Tall okay. Alex is also probably not in high school. She's also way too mature to be friends with any of these people.
Yeah, she looked like,
she has like no interest in like participating in the high school drama and hooking up with people.
Yeah, because like even last season, I mean, she seemed one of like the more normal people last season.
Yeah,
a little bit we've seen of her, and then it's more evident now.
Yeah, I mean, she feeds into the drama. Like, she likes to stir the pot maybe a little bit.
Right.
But for the most part, yeah, she stays out of everything.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're going to see more of her later. We'll see if she's part of the drama or if she sort of takes over the low supporting role to keep Kristen in check. We'll see.
Yeah, she's the anchor.
Yeah. So, well, hey, maybe will Alex be the new low? That's one of the things that we're going to discover. But first... We got to crown our MVP of the week, the first one of season two. MVP of the week. Who you got?
I am going to go with... I think this will be my first and only time I'll maybe ever do this. I'm going to give it to Kristen this week.
Ooh, okay.
Just in the sense that she provides a lot of drama and that she kind of drove the whole episode. It revolved all around her.
Yeah, I'm actually going to agree and give it to Kristen as well. I think she established herself as, like, really strongly made the case that, hey, it's my world now.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully more people will start stepping up or we'll get some more funny little side people, but
right. At
this point, it was, you know, just a nice setup. We knew what we were going to get with Kristen, and then she exceeded that expectation. Yes. Exponentially.
Yes, agreed. So congratulations to Kristen, the first MVP of season two.
I'm going to send you and Jay Cutler your MVP trophies.
Or maybe a new contract for another team.
Hey, if he signs with the Jets.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. Then the whole gang will pretty much be in New York.
Hey, if you're looking for a babysitter... I'm around.
Yes, and you know what? Chen Bunny, give me a call. So, and so, any final thoughts now? Or any expectations that you had after going through this first couple of episodes, I guess, officially, of season two?
Yeah, I'm expecting full drama throughout the whole season. I don't think they're going to take one episode off.
All right. Yeah, I mean, throw Jason into the equation again. Sadly, we have no more Law of Polster, although it sort of held because people were just miserable at these parties. But also, the Law of Jason, if that's gonna start holding true, hashtag all bad vibes. But yeah, it's not officially a law yet because we haven't seen enough, but we'll keep an eye out for Jason because...
It'll be a law soon enough.
As you described Kristen last season... In our bonus episode, Drama Bomb. Alright, so let's take a break and we're gonna reset now and go back to 2005.
Oh, Marty, do you smell that?
I don't think so. What is it?
It's trivia time. It's time for Today in History, where we're going to go back at each week, back and forth, asking each other 5 questions. And at the end of the season, whoever has the most points wins. We got to, this year, we got to figure out what the prize is going to be. We have a lot of time to figure that out.
Yes. It's going to be right now. It's going to be a longer head-to-head battle.
Yeah, hopefully the score is going to be a lot higher, and so I think we should get into it.
All right, let's do it. So yeah. So I lead the series 1-0, but correct. Sam can tie it up, but I'm at bat first.
Yes, and so we're going to talk about the day that the episode aired was July 25th, 2005. So good we day. Finally made it to the summer.
Yeah. It was weird, right? Because we're watching this in March, but it aired in the summer, but it was about Christmas, so it was very confused. My mind was confused.
Yeah, they might speed up past Christmas and try getting it back to by the time like we're done.
Right.
All right. Ready?
Yes.
Question number 1. On this day in July, Mariah Carey held the number 1 song on the Billboard Hot 100. Conveniently, if I was a karaoke guy, this is the song I would choose. You have witnessed this effort to sing this song before. What is this song?
Oh, man. I can hear it in my head. I don't know. The title is it We Belong Together?
It is We Belong Together.
Oh, man. Good times.
Yeah, you can remember the time that lady just came up and stole the mic away from me before I hit one note.
Uh-huh, that was... Ugh.
Yeah. that was when we went through a weird karaoke phase at one point.
Well, we know why, but we won't talk about it because...
It brings up bad memories.
Yeah, and it yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, okay, question number 2.
So, Reverend Schuller?
Yeah, so this question number 2 is about death, so it's a great transition.
Classic.
We love these questions.
Classic death question.
All right. Albert Mangelsdorf passed away on this day.
Is he Dutch again?
What?
Is he Dutch again?
Yeah. No, he's not Dutch.
Okay. Sorry. Go
according
on.
To Wikipedia, he was one of the most accredited and innovative blank blanks of modern jazz, who became famous for his use of multiphonics. If you like jazz, then he might slide into your heart. What innovative blank of modern jazz was this?
Was it the slide? Slide. Was it the... Ooh, there's a couple of things that you can do. I'm going to do the upright bass.
No, he was a trombonist.
Oh. I thought it was the Jazz flute.
All right, so you're 1-1 for 2.
All right.
On to question number 3. I hope you know your Eastern Christianity feast days, because July 25th is the feast day of Saint Blank. She was the mother of Mary and the grandmother of Jesus. Who's this saint?
Is it Mother of Mary, you said?
Mother of Mary.
Okay.
And the grandmother of Jesus.
All right, so it was Jesus with Mary and Joseph. Elizabeth was Mary's aunt, so that can't be her. Is it Anne? Saint Anne?
Saint Anne is correct.
Yes, I'll know my Catholic trivia.
Wow.
That's what Filipino. 25 years of Catholic school gives you.
I'm glad about that. 2-2 for 3.
Yeah.
All right, on to question number 4. This one might be a little hard, but it goes to your heart.
Okay.
WWE held a Monday Night Raw in Gund Arena in Cleveland, Ohio. This controversial wrestler defeated Kurt Angle in a Kurt Angle Invitational match. This wrestler was brought to the ring by Christy Hemme. Who is this wrestler?
Kurt Angle Invitational. Oh, this was Ruthless Aggression here. I'm not going to nerd out right now. Ah, oh, Christy Hemme. So she won Diva Search in 05. Who was she managing? She had red hair. I think he wore red. Did he wear red?
She did have red hair.
Did he wear red? Ah, Christy. Christy Hemme. Who did she manage? Dang. Kurt Angle Invitational. You said controversial wrestler. Is it... it can't be. I don't know. Is it Chris Benoit?
No, it is not Chris Benoit.
Lance Storm?
Nope.
No.
Think, like, you didn't get this point, but...
Yeah.
Controversial is a pretty good hint. They're not the most PC of people.
Not the most PC of people.
Well, like, when they make their characters.
Oh, was it Eugene?
It was Eugene.
Oh, all right. Eugene Dinsmore. Got it.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
Very controversial.
He wore red knee pads but blue tights, and he had a white jacket with red lining. Got it. All right.
And he had a mental disability.
Ugh, yes. But also a wrestling savant. He great, great in-ring worker. But let's move on. That's for the million wrestling podcasts out there right now.
So you're 2 for 4.
Ugh, and I missed the wrestling one. Dang.
You could either break even or still be even. Not, just kidding. You could be 2 for 3. On this day in the Philippines, there was an electoral crisis. The opposition filed an impeachment complaint against the president for election fraud. The president declared this day a holiday. Who is this president?
I am going to go with GMA Gloria Macapagal Arroyo.
That is correct.
Yeah.
3 for 5.
My Filipino and Catholic history is very well intact.
Yeah, I was really shocked that you got St. Anne. So.
All right. Well, how many did I get? 3?
You got 3 for 5. Right. Solid, solid start.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. And, you know, that's it for this segment. So we'll see how well you do next week, where I will ask you about the deaths of Dutch people.
Hey, that's Dutch, my specialty.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Gimmick infringement. Hey, you took my budget gimmick last week.
I feel like a person from Netherlands died every day.
All right, well, okay, good start for me. So let's finish off this song, and then we'll ride off into the sunset after this quick break.
Did oh, we are one soul.
All right, and that song you've been hearing was by Radical Something. It's called One Soul from their EP Hot Sauce. You can find this and their other albums, which include our theme song California, on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you stream music. Make sure you go visit them, www.weareradical.com. Search for Radical Something on Facebook, or follow them on Twitter, @WeAreRadical. So Sam, we just featured a really good band and good friends of the show. Do you have any recommendations for people besides these gentlemen to listen to, watch, eat, whatever you want?
Oh, I'm glad that you brought up eat, because my recommendation is eggs. Eggs are a great source of protein. You can hard boil, soft boil, scramble them up over easy. Anytime, anywhere, eggs are great.
All right. Well,
how about you, Marty? You got any recommendations?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to try to relate to your egg recommendation and recommend A Man Whose Head is Shaped Like an Egg on Netflix right now. Jim Norton and his new stand-up special. It's pretty good. The humor is not for everyone, but I mean, Jim Norton's one of my favorite comics. A little on the blue side, but I think if you like that kind of humor, you will enjoy it very much. And also, side note, since we're talking about eggs, I'd also like to recommend Gudetama, the new Sanrio cartoon character. Well, not that new, but the most popular Sanrio character since Hello Kitty, the lazy sad egg.
Yeah, I love that thing. he's so sad.
He's just so lazy. He's like, ugh, I don't want to get out of bed. And his bed's a piece of toast.
Classic.
So go check that out. Not a sponsor, but hey, if you want to be the official mascot of the Coming Clean Pod, but you might be too lazy to do that. But if the egg wants to get in touch with us, or you eggheads out there want to get in touch with us, Sam, where can they find us?
You guys can find us at Coming Clean Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we're still waiting for some more support on patreon.com/comingcleanpod. And if you guys want to email us anything at all, it would be really helpful if you emailed us at coming.clean.pod@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcast.
And Jen Bunny, give me a call. But again, special thanks to Radical Something for our new theme song, California. Super good song. And always remember to hashtag rep the rad. Sam, we're at the dawn of a brand new season, but we're going to ride off into the sunset for this particular episode. I'll chat with you next week.
I'ma lay it down with my boombox, babe. Now turn up the bass, drink it, drink, drink. I'ma lay it down with my boombox, babe. California. Pecorino, sipping vino with Dan Marino, in my Speedo with the desert.